What's up, fool? What's up, fool podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool podcast. We're here every Wednesday, live on YouTube from 12 to 1 o'clock or whenever the internet shuts down. And Rodrigo Torres is right here. What's up, man, fool? We have a guest right here, extraordinaire writer, producer. None of that stuff got published or picked up, but he's out there doing it. And this guy started off, I met this guy like years ago at some backyard pupusa show and shit.
Jose V show.
The first time I saw him up there.
Bellflower.
Young, bro. Looks the same. He's not aged. This guy's like Benjamin Button, bro. He's going to look 12 till the day he dies. What's up? Momo Rodrigo's in the house all the way from Huntington Park, right?
No, Norwalk.
Norwalk. We met a lot of people in Norwalk, huh?
Hell yeah. There should be a room in Norwalk.
Yeah, there was the Ramada.
Yeah, the
Ramada, man.
Whose room was that originally?
It's always Rudy Moreno's room.
Oh, cause I was gonna say Esquivel, no, for a while, or he used to do some of the nights.
And then it was a bowling alley too, right?
Bowling alley.
That was in Downey, no?
That was the guy. What's his name?
Rick Martinez.
Rick Martinez.
Off of Firestone.
Yeah, dude.
It's still that base.
Yeah, man. Norwalk representing, bro.
A lot of history, man.
Yeah. I remember going there, man. Like, and I was like. I was, some places you will go, like, there will be at least one decent chick that like, you could talk to, you know, or at least have a conversation or feel good about just talking to anybody. I got to stay at that place in Norwalk, that bowling alley. There was no one you could do that with.
There was nobody there.
There was no one you could do that with.
It's an old-ass chola, huh?
It should be like a 48-year-old woman there getting drunk, holding her bowling bag for nobody to steal it. And then the guy that was running the show, he was filming everybody, bro.
Getting ready to do specials.
You know that guy was filming everybody? He was filming every show.
Because that camera was right there.
Yeah.
And he made it into a special, like a TV show or what?
No, one time he was selling DVDs of that show, and Joe Diaz had to say, man, why are you signing me?
Oh.
You're lying, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I knew he was recording. I didn't know he was selling them, though, dude.
What? Norwalk, famous Norwalk.
Yeah.
Where dreams happen and get taken away. There you go.
And then what do you got up the street? The Santa Fe Springs swap meet?
Oh, yeah. That's my hood.
There were a lot of little rooms in Norwalk, huh?
Yeah, dude. And that other one that was good for a while until it got shut down because somebody got ran over. It was the Rosewood. Remember?
Pozole at Rosewood. How can you forget?
Yeah, dude.
That place is still open for food.
Yeah, it's open for food.
Well, they closed the one in Norwalk down, and now it's opened like a few blocks down. That was called Mr. Rosewood's.
They're really? They're famous for their menudo.
The half and half. Half menudo, half pozole.
Yeah, because it was owned by an Asian dude.
It was? Yeah, I know that.
Because the only reason I remember that room a lot is because that's a room where Ernie G got silenced by Johnny Juan. You know those?
Remember that dude?
No.
There was some guy that used to live in a, he used to live like in, truck. A, in a truck. A little truck with a camper, right?
Yeah, he was a handyman.
And he used to go like, he'll one of the, burr.
He didn't like Ernie G.
And he didn't like the comedian. He'd be like, burr.
That's hilarious.
And he's like, come on, bro. You can't be doing this during my, burr. Bro, see, that's why Latin, burr.
That would you keep little move ahead, burr.
Yo, the first time me and Felipe, I remember we met was in Bellflower at a room that is like a Mardi Gras room now off of Hollywood, Bellflower Boulevard. And I never met Felipe. We never talked. And I remember he came up to me after my set, and he goes, he looks at me right away, and he tells me, hey, I know you played the guitar. Like, that was the first thing you ever said to me. I didn't know you played the guitar. And I was like, hey, nice to meet you, my name is Mo Rodriguez. And then you look at me, and you go, what happened to your tooth? Because I remember that tooth I had.
Yeah.
Oh, bro. I had a horrible fucking...
Let me see right now.
I had a rotting tooth really bad.
We need candies, bro.
Bro. right off the bat, what happened to your tooth? And then he looked at me, like really deep looking. He goes, hey, but you're funny. You're going to get some ass. Don't worry about it.
Did you?
I did. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
That was the best advice I ever. I mean, I was so you know, self-conscious about the tooth. And he was the first one to address it and say, let me see your tooth. Like, he wanted to see the rot.
Tell him, give me a cue, boy.
He said, you'll still get ass. Don't worry about it. You're funny.
Did you have a guitar at that time?
I did have a guitar. The last time I had a guitar.
You'll still get ass.
I did.
I
like to like build confidence in young comics.
Oh, he did. You know, I came out of there confident.
I would leave. Like, if I see a young comic who's like clueless, I would tell him, bro, what you got to do is just stand by that bathroom and wait for somebody's drunk wife to show up to tell you you're funny and grab her boobs.
Drunk wife, eh?
Make sure she's married.
That's funny.
Yeah, because that way she's not going to hang around with you all day. It won't be a relationship. She has to
That's
go her way.
Business as usual, man.
That was beautiful. It
was beautiful, man. Sometimes, like, you just, like, it will work. You just, like, I remember an older comic just told me, just stand right there. Like, you just did something great. And I said, what do you mean? Like, just say, what did you want to do? Okay, but say you did it already.
That's a good advice.
I went to the moon.
I want to be a comic, bro, like with a television show. Bro, just stand there and pretend that already happened.
That's a good idea, though, dog, because, you know, put your little chest up, dog, give him a little wink.
So I would just stood there like this, bro, and, oh, you were funny. Thank you.
She walks.
You got to be funny, though. For
yeah,
that.
But
of course.
You can't be there bombing.
Nah, it doesn't matter. As long as somebody's going to talk to you, dude, people are going to talk to you.
But if you bomb and good, and you're good looking, you still get laid. But if you're bomb and you're ugly, you know, rotten tooth, or
that makes you uglier.
Or you stutter. Yeah.
That was the best thing to tell me when he told me, hey, man, you got a rotten tooth, but you're funny. You're still going to make it.
Hell yeah, bro. I had like bleeding gums. I still got laid. Oh. What's up, Momo Rodriguez, man? I met Momo Rodriguez, bro, also. When they had the Latino Laugh Festival, bro.
I wasn't in it. I was.
He was not in it.
But loitering.
He had gotten the rug taken out of him 6 months before the Latino show, because that guy took his spot. Orale, what's his name?
Rene Sandoval's.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That was when they told me, we want you to be part of the show.
Yes.
But we need something funny. So can you just do like wear a mariachi suit? So I lived in Costa Mesa at that time. So I had a ride from all the way to North Hollywood in the bus on a mariachi suit the whole time and with the guitar with no strings. True story. It took me 6 hours to get to the club. Once I got there, they're like, you know what? We're not going to use you. And, you know, by the time 12 o'clock comes out or 2 a.m., the buses don't run. So I had to wait till like 6 in the morning at the bus stop overnight till I got the bus to start running again. And again, came home in a mariachi suit, bro. Sad as... It was the worst.
Tan, tan.
Dude, man.
Mariachi
Plaza. What were we supposed to do that day, though?
I was
that
supposed,
night.
A sketch or
they,
what?
They wanted me to sing Serenade to someone. Whenever somebody was bombing, they wanted me to go up there and play the guitar, like El Chacal. Like.
But you didn't make
Whose idea was this? Rick Nájera?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was
his idea. God.
It was.
Explains everything.
It was his idea. And that, to this day, I tell him, I always bring up, man, you made me wear a mariachi suit for 6 hours in the bus, going one way and then going the other way.
Where are you coming from?
I was coming from Costa Mesa.
That's far.
So that's like 8 buses.
So you had to, like, get, like, well, the first ride to,
I get the 460.
To Anaheim, that was 30 minutes. Just to get to Anaheim, right? 30 minutes.
You get the 460, and the 460 take you all the way to downtown LA. And then from downtown LA, I think it was like 4 other buses, and there was a delay, so.
Damn, they put it to the 460, man.
The 460.
That one goes over to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And you know where we worked together, too, before? With that fool, dude, doing the homie voices.
Oh, that's right.
LA over there on Bundy, dog.
I was going to get to that, bro.
Oh, that's another
show they took away from him that same week.
The other scam, in the six months. Yeah.
Well, he's the one that kind of like took it away from you, right?
Well, no. What happened on
what
that?
What happened?
What happened on that one?
David came in, right?
I was a writer, but they never...
You were a writer on the Homies.
Yeah, I was a writer on the Homies.
Homies is the little... The Homies are the little dolls that everyone collected, like the graduating homie and all that. But then the original guy named David, he wanted to have a show on CTV?
On LA TV.
LA TV.
Even lower.
Yeah. And then after a while, I mean, I was...
about Humberto.
I was a writer, and then, you know, they had me just on one...
Gorilla writing, right? Like, just... Riding all day with nobody telling you to stop, huh?
Or paying you.
Or pay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they didn't pay us for that.
They didn't pay us for that.
But they
used
my voice and they put my name in the credit, though.
Me, too. I was an on-camera personality.
Let's do that again.
They used to send me to red carpets. I did, like, all these red carpets, like Halloween red carpet.
You guys did this and didn't get paid?
No.
Yeah.
They said, doing it?
I didn't go back because I didn't get paid.
Why'd you keep doing it?
Because I didn't have nowhere else to go.
You know, they tried to lie to me. They said, you come back this next week and we'll pay you for last week. I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, oh, fucking Momo. Momo showed up with a little baby face. Okay.
But you know where I was working at the same time? I was working part-time at La Curaçao and the
marketing
department. I was the one that would draw the little Indios and lied to all the Salvis.
Yeah, you told me the story of how they started.
Yeah, it turns out it was. By the way, it's not even owned by Latinos. It's owned by Jewish two Israeli brothers.
The same guy who owned Estrella TV.
Yeah, they did it like they were the first to give credit.
And they did it like finger hut.
Yeah. And they would make you feel like, you know, our job was to make it look like a Latino company.
Oh, totally.
So half the day I was working there, and then the rest of the day I took the bus all the way down to Bundy, man. And it got ripped over there, too. Like, it was just nonstop. Both of them told me the same thing. We'll pay you one day.
They didn't even spit on it.
I think I was taking the bus, man.
So when you were on, when you had both riding, how did they approach you, like, to get the job first? Like,
we're going to make you a star.
At the lap factory.
That pretty much, I wouldn't even ask how much it paid when you told me that.
It was Richard Villa.
To me, it was Renee Sandoval and that other fool.
Orale.
It was Richard Villa at the Hollywood Improv when we used to do that place. And then the Refried Fridays, and then one day he was
the beginning of the Refried Friday, right?
Yeah, the beginning, like back in the world, you know, these be these long lines and
long lines. Jamie Marcel, all mad. Yeah,
I wonder if Richard did get paid and he didn't pay anybody.
Of course he did.
Oh, he did. He got paid. He did get paid. Yeah. So we were just like, oh, you know, we loved that place, and then that's when they would go, and that's where we would get showcased. And LATV came over, or Rick Nahara came over and said, give me as many Latinos as you can. Have them come to the studio. And like eight
another
of us.
One.
Give me a brown one. Give me a white one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's shopping.
And I didn't have a ride, so I remember I called Fernando Flores. Hey, bro, you want to be on the show?
I'll bring my ambulance.
Yeah, and he's like.
You want the clean one or the dirty one?
and he's like, yeah. But, you know, I had to get him a spot on the show, too, to get a ride.
Oh, my God. Oh.
He's giving up guest spots on the show. That's what happened.
It's tough, bro. It is tough. Let me tell you, man. You know Super Mario Salazar
from
Corpus Christi, Texas? Superstar. Shout out to him. You know, funny guy. But he's a young comic. And I was doing a show in Corpus Christi, and he lives in McAllen. So John Roman gave that fool a guest spot on my show, 10 minutes. But I guess I found out later that he couldn't get a ride to fucking Corpus. So he had this other comedian, I forgot his name, Rebel Man. Or Rebel Man or whatever his name is. And that guy gave Mario a ride to the show. But what I didn't know is that Mario had to give him time. Wow. So how you gonna? So he gave him 5 minutes, so that's to split the 10 now. It's tough out there for a young comic, man.
It is tough. But at least back then, we had to prove ourselves. Like, it wasn't like, I'm going to put you up because you came. Back then, if you put us up, it was because, number one, we've been doing it for a while, doing open mics. We've been doing this. And we had to bring, like, 1,000 people if we wanted to do someone's show. Now it's a little easier.
So Fernando Flores gave a ride to where?
He gave me a ride to LATV. And then I had to buy my breakfast burrito.
You have a spot and a breakfast burrito?
I'll give you half.
I'll give you half. So we bought one and shared it. We show up to LATV and like, who's
this? Egg roll, huh?
And they were excited because, oh, you brought another one. Great.
Another one.
Let's throw them in there.
I was like, OG migrant labor, dog. Yeah, not even migrant labor. They get paid.
This sounds like an entertainment pyramid scheme, man.
It was what it was.
If Rick weren't.
With Rick on the top.
If Rick weren't Latino, everything he does and says would be considered racist.
Yeah, and you know he wasn't even paid.
Right?
You told me that you should look up to him. He spoke at your school, so you believed him.
He wasn't even paid, bro.
He was not paid at all.
He wasn't paid either.
He wasn't paid either.
What did he get out of it?
Because he was supposed to be program director of the network.
Of what network?
Of LATV.
So he's hoping for payoff.
He snuck in there doing that.
Everybody was doing something for free in order to get a position in that place.
Which doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, it does, but all it does is do, what do you call it? They do like the infomercials.
Radio interviews, right?
Yeah.
It's public access.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then in the end, we all were promised so much money. And then not only that, they brought certain celebrities. I mean, I remember the day we went.
They fooled me, Jerry.
What's his name? Yeah, what's the guy that died recently, the director?
John Singleton.
Yeah. They brought him to LATV, and I was there that day. We had to interview him. And I mean, it was they throw you right into, you know, to work. And then, oh, by the way, can you go in the booth and record 8 different voices for Cholo voices?
That was for the homies, right?
And the guys who ran the scripts were like these intellectuals. And I'm like,
they had no idea what was going on.
They were writing SNL for Cholos, basically, because they were doing these sketches that went over a lot of people's heads. And the viewers were like, yeah, it was good, but we don't get it. Like, you know, they did the Cholo Whisperer. They did CSI Cholo. Like, they were trying to do sketches that no one really understood the references. And then we, our job, I mean,
Cholo's pretty good.
I mean, Crocodile Hunter, Cholo.
Was, I mean, now it is, but back then.
Cholo Whisperer.
And then at one point, bro, they had me spray paint the backgrounds for the Cholo Monitos, bro.
Yeah.
I was detailing them Cholos, bro.
How many hours you put in, Rodrigo?
I put in 4 hours because I did that, and I did three voices. But then at lunch, they brought a Subway. I just went to.
And you knew by the
yeah,
Subway.
Yeah, I went to Best Buy, and I'm on
right across the street.
I'm
right?
out, bro. I just took off, dude. And then because I knew it seemed weird, like nothing was happening, dude. Like, and then I get three.
They aired, huh?
I get three. Yeah, I got three voicemails. One from Renee Sandoval, one from Rick Najera. Hey, buddy, so when you coming back? I wish I would have saved them.
And they go, use this one. Orale, put that in there.
Yeah, they use your voicemails.
Call us back and leave us a long message about where you went.
Yeah, so we just want to know when you're coming back, buddy. It's already been 2 hours. What's going on here? And they're talking to me like bosses, fool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're talking like, to me like you're my boss.
Like they were, I was already cashing checks. Well,
you know who got paid the most in that whole thing? The guy who made the sets for the homies. Wow! And he even went over budget.
The miniature set designer.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the best part.
Could tell it was shady.
Their editor was fired for the homies show. So I edited the last four episodes in my home computer for the homies.
God. How about David? What did he get?
I don't know.
The creator of the homies.
He didn't get anything, I think.
Because he was trying to do it again later on.
He's going to sell advertising to make any money, right? The station's not giving him money.
The homies' actual car, the production, the way it looked on TV, it looked good.
It was animated.
Okay,
right?
First of all, I edited it in my backyard.
It was animated or this was it was, like,
slow motion.
Stop motion.
Oh my God, that took forever.
I edited the whole thing on Final Cut Pro because they lost budget money because I don't know where the money went to. Well, so they couldn't pay for editing bays.
Stop motion is the most expensive thing you can do though.
Well,
that
no,
takes
they didn't
a lot of time.
They didn't do it like they were supposed to. Oh. Basically,
they did claymation style.
The Cholos just did this. Take a picture of him going back and forth.
Also, it's not full movement.
It's not full movement.
Not real style.
And it was all green screen.
It was not like
it was fucking ghetto.
Forever. It was not like
Robot
photos.
Chicken.
Robot Chicken
is way better.
That's real shit, fool.
Wasn't that Robot Cholo?
Robot Cholo.
Who owns the Cholo or the homies the rights to that these days? Do you know?
I think LATV still owns it.
Still owns it.
And I think they want to
buy that from them.
They wanted to make it into. I mean, that could be a great done now.
I'm surprised they still don't even sell them, dude.
That, done now, it could be great if you know the right. And even David was to like contact people who knew what they were doing. But even but he still gets screwed. I mean, look at the swap meet. All this stuff is all over the swap meet.
Mad,
yeah, they own that shit. How did who the first person that came up to everybody and said, "Let's do this"?
For me, it was Richard Villa. But then again, he was working at LATV as a writer for that show, too. He wrote most of the episodes.
Right. Yeah. It was Najera and Renee Sandoval that came up to me.
And was Richard gone at that point when they came up to
I didn't see him that day. No. I didn't see anything. But I knew he was working on it.
I think he's a producer on it.
They came up to me one time, and then Pat Buckles, my manager, asked him for money. Yeah. She asked for $200 a day at least.
Something.
And I never got a no or a yes. But and then she never called me back and told me they said no, so it just disappeared.
Yeah.
But then they had you come in like audition. I remember I dropped you off for like two different auditions there, and they were like
they chose Cisco because they did it for free.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
That was weird.
And then they had the rep.
There you go.
What do you call it? The city rep that now she represents the California, Wendy Carrillo.
Oh,
Wendy Carrillo
was
my producer when we did the on air camera stuff. They would send me out dressed like a homie. So nobody would come up to me.
Which homie were you?
I was the fool. And nobody would come up to me for the interview.
Why would you dress? I wonder why would you dress like that?
They made me dress like
that. Nobody had no idea why you dressed like that.
Nobody had an idea.
Like a Cholo baby.
Dude, yeah, like a Cholo baby. No celebrity would come up to me. Danny Trejo was the only one that came up to me for the interview.
That fool's cool.
And he was confused
the
whole time.
He said, you need a job, man. I feel bad for you.
Let me talk to you, mijo.
He thought in my backyard.
I'm going to show you how to make some donuts.
Yeah, it was great, man. For me, it was a fun experience because I got to really be on set. I got to experience the business. I got to experience editing.
Yeah,
and
you're really
works.
Trying to find the positive in that. Experience.
Trying, man.
You know,
then you did.
That sucks, man.
Then after that, you and Richard Chan and Sherm started doing that Spanish bicycle.
No, that wasn't me.
In that.
I thought that was him.
No, they asked me to be part of it because I was the only one that knew banda. Because I wasn't shy about knowing banda back then.
Yeah.
And I remember Ramiro Caro, the one that passed away.
Yeah, Ramiro was on stage when you did that one show. Ramiro was up
and
there.
And so was,
I sang
so was
with banda
the little Chuyito guy. What's his name?
Cesar.
Hernandez. The singer, he's very popular.
Oh,
now.
Gerardo
Ortiz. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was his cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there too.
Yeah, I remember that. I had that video of that. Me seeing that. Right? That was
yeah, the Ice House.
And he even said, "Let's go to Mexico, bro." I'm like, "Nah, I'm good." And then that's when he got killed when he went over there. Is that crazy?
Yeah,
man, you can't fuck around over there like that.
No, I mean, because you know these guys were not American. These guys, I mean, Mexican. They were American guys with the Mexican mentality. But you go to Mexico and you have the American mentality, and you got to give us money for the show. No, nah, we're good. Oh, you don't say no over there.
Nah,
I know. He did a show in Mexico in TJ, like a comedy show. And I just told the guy who put it together, I said, you know what? You keep all the money. We don't even want any money. Yeah, just pay the openers. Yeah. And like Felipe just wants to do
the
show.
You don't even got to have a sink that works.
Because he was like telling me, like, well, you got to pay the city if they come in to the show, you got to pay them. And I'm like, I don't want any dealing with having to pay the
you
city.
Do it.
They show fucking up Mordida, randomly. Dog. Like, you handle that. You keep all the money.
I'm pretty sure that if I was a city guy in Mexico, I'd just drive around and see a big ass line.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They probably.
If they see a big ass line.
It's an opportunistic
line. If they see a line on a block, they have the right to go inside and demand money, huh? Mm-hmm.
They'll go over there and fucking mow one over on you.
Or else, they could do that here in America, too. Shut it down.
They have a tax. Yeah. It's a legit tax. This isn't like the dudes may come in. It's the city. Yeah. But they don't always come into the show to collect
the
tax.
It's a big-ass dense city, man.
Yeah.
They
so,
do here for the street vendors. There's people that come if you're in a certain area.
Of course.
And if you're in their block and selling fruit, you got to give
MacArthur
them
Park.
Their...
Everybody pays taxes.
What'd you start off doing stand-up comedy at?
Started doing stand-up comedy at the Ice House. And
you were part of Rudy Moreno's comedy class?
No, I was not.
Or David's?
No. The reason, the way I got into...
Bobby Holiday?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Oliver.
Bobby Oliver. That's right. No, the way I got into comedy, I snuck
Greg
in...
Dean?
Greg
Dean.
Who else? And then the...
Uncle Clyde.
The Greg Wilson did one.
The Greg Wilson, but no, he had a class too?
He had a class too at the Don Lovitz.
You started... When he started, he had a class?
He had a class at the Ha Ha, fool.
I remember Joey Martinez.
After Joey Martinez Comedy Boot Camp. After his class.
Yeah, no.
David Arnold had one, too.
Yes.
David Arnold had one.
10 minutes of jokes?
Dude, I
teach you how to fart on stage.
Oh, man. I went up
bro,
there.
How ridiculous were these classes for you?
I didn't do these classes.
No? Okay.
No. At least you weren't smart enough to get jacked.
No, I went to theater. I was a theater major. So
Othello.
I
would have told you could go work like, cartoons for free.
Yeah. Well, think about it. My dad, illegal alien, came to this country, didn't have any money, hated his job, and then his son gets a job, a clown for free. He was pissed.
Who's that?
My dad. So I had to work it like with a Curaçao.
Generation on my side.
Right? So I had to work it like with a Curaçao.
For everybody who doesn't know what Curaçao is, El Curaçao is like the Mexican Latino. Best Buy, and they'll give credit to anybody as long as you want to leave your passport there.
like 25-30% interest.
Yes.
It's ridiculous,
It
bro.
Is ridiculous. And the
it's
only
criminal,
other,
dog.
Growing up as a kid, I could tell you right now that there was four major places that would give immigrants credit. And they were like, oof. It was like pretty much borrowing furniture from the mob.
Yeah.
It was La Popular.
La Popular.
La Casa Dierdens. La Casa Phoenix. Central
Crystal,
Promotion.
Crystal Promotion.
Yeah,
huh?
Crystal Promotion.
La Canasta.
And then the Central Market.
Yeah.
And those people will give, you could walk out of La Consola and meet Mexican Santa Claus there and get a coloring book with Woody Woodpecker on it.
Scam, dog.
A Mexican coloring book.
Yeah, I remember when we went to Rent-A-Center years ago, because Rent-A-Center is the same thing. You know, non-Latino, I guess.
They get you.
Yeah, now they rent.
But yeah, we rented, I think we were renting a couch or something. We were renting to own. And I was looking around, and I think I was 14, and I was like, you know, this is not a good idea. I was like, we're going to end up paying more for this couch than buying it.
Like $1,000 couch.
One of my worst first gigs was me and my little brothers. We were dressed up like Los Tres Reyes Magos and took photos with people at Central Electric.
Oh, my gosh.
So all day, man.
How'd you guys get that gig, fool?
Bro.
It's a hard gig to get,
I'll tell you how I got it, bro.
You're going to be selected.
I signed up to the acting agency where you pay. So I paid $25.
A star is born, Raza.
So I thought they were giving me that work. So this
Barbizon.
So the lady said, necesitamos actores.
Chartista.
So we went to that the costume palace or the costume house. Right there and on Hollywood Boulevard, right? You know where it is?
By the magic shop.
It's still there.
Yeah, that place. And they got all kinds of costumes, bro. You want to be a fucking Mexican genie? They got it. You want to be a Mexican Confederate soldier? They got it. So right there, bro, that lady dresses up like fucking...
She took you guys, all three
of
you?
Yeah, all of us, bro. We fucking got... We rented Los Tres Reyes Magos outfits. That lady paid to rent them. What? And we went to Grand Central Pentler Electric in Washington. And bro, for 8 hours straight.
Straight 8 hours, no lunch.
No, they brought her lunch.
Oh, okay.
With we frankincense
took,
or what?
Yeah, we took photos with a bunch of kids and a bunch of people.
Dude.
Even the ladies that worked, like secretaries, you can't afford to call us.
You guys get paid?
Fuck yeah, we got paid, bro.
Yeah, not like TV, bro.
We got paid, bro.
With
like
a budget, eh?
But let me tell you, bro, my little brother was still like in high school and junior high, they didn't get shit, dog. They gave me all the money, bro, and I only gave them $50 each.
You were the representative for all three of them? Or all you guys?
I gave them $50 each for 3 days.
See, that's not bad.
See, he knows what he was talking
when
about.
You're
and
little
I kept
kid?
The rest, bro. They were happy, bro.
I'm over dressed like freaking the fool.
So my dad.
You're not getting paid.
If my dad would have got us that gig, he would not give a shit.
Nothing?
Nothing. Because I remember we collected 5 big ass plastic bags, hefties. The big trash bags, you know the big half.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We shoved those 3 bags full of smashed aluminum cans, bro, that we collected, not my dad. And when we got there, bro, they gave my dad like $38. That fool just bought a torta, dog.
and took a bite out of it.
Yeah. He bought a torta each. Like he had carne asada, I had ham. My brother had pastor, and that fool took a bite of all of them, bro.
Wow.
And he gave us one bag of chips and a zapatillo sauce, bro.
Damn.
And one soda.
A sampler.
It was a two liter, bro, that we had to split. And after that, bro, we started hiding our cans somewhere else and taking our cans without him, bro.
They got rid of their agent.
We stopped working with that fool, dog. That fool just got loaded, spent all the money, dog.
Fuck. $38
back then was a grip. You were like that dad from that Robert De Niro movie.
Yes, I was just this boy's life. Fucking, I was just thinking about that because my mom kept my brother's paper route money.
Wow.
And he never got to spend it. And then she spent it because we needed stuff for the house. So she's using his paper route money. He was so angry. And I was angry for him. I was like, he worked for that. And I didn't see the fairness in this. I was like, this is not fair.
I found out the little boy and from little Christmas boy Story movie. When he goes, drink more Ovaltine.
Oh, yeah.
A commercial. And then, like, bro, but then I thought we started working with my dad. We started putting sand in the fucking aluminum cans and BBs. Wow. And then, like, the people that worked there, they know what a bag weighs.
They know, of course. Because you thought you had a scam, huh?
Yeah. And she came out at $50.
Did it work the first time, at
least? Fuck yeah. But later on, we got too careless, bro. Like, the bag.
You got too greedy.
You could feel the bag at the bottom of the un puño de tierra, bro.
It's all grainy, huh?
After a while, bro, we got greedy, bro. We just started dumping dirt in the bag, bro.
You didn't even get sand anymore, bro.
So what else you do, bro? I know you're a little hustler, bro.
I'm doing a lot. I'm trying to do as much as I can.
No, bro, you're the kid. You used to always hustle. Hot dog.
Bro, I worked my first job
at 14.
You
made money, selling newspapers, bro, shining shoes.
First job at 14, I lied about my age, and I sold fucking pizzas. I was a pizza salesman.
For Pizza Loca?
No, from Paisano's Pizzas and Subs in La Palma.
La Palma, California?
I was a hardcore dishwasher, worked my way up to pepperoni slicer, and eventually pizza maker, bro.
Damn.
Fucking Luigi.
It's 15 years old, bro.
Yeah.
Paisano Pizza in La Palma, California.
Yeah, and then I had a
people don't
right
know
there by Buena Park, right?
La Palma is a little ass city.
Like an island.
It's between Hawaiian Gardens
and Buena Park
yeah, area.
That little, it's a small it's little smaller, fucking
a lot of
enclave.
Retired Michael a lot of retired Lockheed people used to live there.
No, we did a lot. It was fun, man. The cool thing about that is the first time I learned about how to really, like, manage money and lie to my parents. Because I was also that guy that had to give my mom at least half.
A little cut.
Of what
I hate that shit, dog.
Yeah, and she was the same thing. If you give me lo más que me das, the more you get. The more you give me, the more God will give you.
That's
ridiculous.
That's like going to church.
Lies. Lies, bro.
Prosperity ministry.
Give me your shillings and
lies.
I'll give you one back.
I never got anything back.
Don't lie to me.
See, your mom right there, man. Your mom taught you a bad way of doing things, bro, because thinking that way made you get that job for free.
For free LA TV. To this day, I'm waiting for my
holding
return.
Out hope for they will. They will pay me.
Yeah,
they
it will. Made me a good person. That's like, a downfall.
Me, bro. I would lie to my mom. I don't give a shit, dog.
Yeah, I did. I
give her like a little like if I had $200, $20.
But you know what? I fed the family because I would mess up pizzas on purpose. When you mess up a pizza, you can take it home.
Oh, please, dog. What do you think a job like that's for, dog?
So you put all that batter and all that sausage in a bag? And
well, I would give the wrong order. Like they would say, I want pepperoni. Oh, I put sausage in it. Oh, we'll take it. No. You deserve best.
Then don't you get fired in the end?
This was coming to the house.
Fired in the end for messing up?
You know
much?
What? The guy knew. I mean, he knew. He was paying me $5 an hour under the table. I was 14 years old. I wasn't even allowed to be working.
How many hours you work?
I was working like 9 to 10 hours.
God damn, dude.
In the summertime, it was worse,
so
man.
He loved you, huh?
And then it was fun, man. And then eventually I went to school and then I started working on writing and I got into the theater programs and I became a thespian.
Hell yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And then I worked for free for the rest of my life.
So when did you meet Anthony Quinn's cousin?
I'm related to Anthony Quinn. He's my great uncle. My real name is Osvaldo Rodriguez Oaxaca.
Do you know the history of the last name Quinn?
It's a lie. It's a lie, bro.
Did you hear about it, though?
Yeah, I heard
it's an Irish last name.
I'll tell you the truth.
I always thought he was Irish.
Yeah. He's Irish. This is what I heard about the last name Quinn.
The
mom.
Yeah, yeah.
The last name Quinn and Quinto. I heard that when the Spanish were here, there was a lot of Quintos already. You know, like Quinto. Yeah. But then a lot of Native Americans started naming themselves Quinto.
Yeah,
so they
true.
Changed it to Quintana. Because and then Quiñones. And then eventually Quinn.
You know, Quinto comes from Quinto Sol.
Quinn comes from Quin, right?
Yeah, from the Quinto Sol. Yeah. Aztecs. The fifth son was a big thing for them. There's a lot of bands named Quinto Sol. Right. It's very indigenous.
Once you became the original last name was Quintana or Quinn or Quinto?
No. Quinn is Irish.
A legit last name.
The reality is he's from Chihuahua, Mexico. And during those times, a lot of the Irish came in to help in the railroads.
And they
also escaped the Civil War.
Yeah,
they also defected from the Civil War.
Patricios.
And then they also helped during the revolution to use a lot of the guns and the railroads. For Pancho Villa.
And also that Catholic link.
Yeah. So my grandfather's a lot of the family's Irish. Our family's Taran also. So we have a lot of Irish in us. My Anthony Quinn's my uncle, his mom, her name is Manuela Oaxaca. That's on my grandpa's side. His dad's name was Quinn, and he's an Irishman. He came. He lost contact of his dad. Then she crossed over, and that's when he, you know, pretty much grew up in East LA, but really he was in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Yeah, because they tell the whole story on the Lawrence of Arabia. It has a little history of Anthony Quinn on there on the second DVD.
So that's our family. Anthony Quinn is our great uncle, and that's why Alex's son that lives in L.A. You know,
he didn't put you in the will.
No, bro, he had like 18 kids.
Hell yeah, dog. He's getting down to his 70s, dog.
18 kids. That guy. But the first Latino, the first Mexican American to win two Oscars, an Oscar at all. So.
Did he highlight his ethnicity much, though?
No.
Back then it was tough.
Not then.
It wasn't.
There were two periods, though, in Hollywood. Because there was a period in Hollywood where it was 70s. There was a shared, you know, joy of the cinematic history, and it included Mexico.
Yeah, and that's because of Mexico's golden era.
Yeah. And it was that Mexico golden era that was, I mean, it was just as accepted. It was almost like its own NAFTA. Like, we went down there and got actors, and they made movies up here.
And I think it all changed after World War II.
After World War II?
The whole commie thing and all that. You know, Spanish is less. And then especially here in the States, if you meet Latinos that are in their 60s or 70s, they would speak Spanish at home. But if they would speak Spanish at California schools, they get spanked. Dude.
Raquel Welch is a good example right there. Rosie and the Originals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one knew Rosie was Mexican.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and then Anthony Quinn did a lot of movies that he played other races.
Yes.
And that's the best thing about him. So whenever people say, oh, they don't have roles for us. Well, I mean, this is a guy who won two Oscars playing what he's not.
Zorba, dog. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, with the big no pal in his forehead.
Yeah, Zorba the Greek.
And he still did it. So I think it's a lot of people just complain too much if they're not that good at certain things. But there is also the race card in Hollywood. I experienced that a lot of times. Networks, pitching to networks. They'll read your stuff. And I'll say, we went to a network. I'm not going to say the name. Myself and my mentor went. We pitched the show. They said it was great.
You know, never going to mention your mentor's name?
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about the story. But I'll say it right now with the story.
Mentira.
What year was that? 3 years ago?
This is 2 years ago. So we went in there, and then we pitched the show, and they loved the show. They said I was a great writer, said I was an amazing writer, they told me all this shit. Then, you know, we leave the meeting, he's like, it was successful. No, because I sent them a blank PDF of the show. So they just brought us in there just to meet with us, and they didn't never read the script. You know, I mean, that just shows. I mean, what do you do?
But they don't do that with anything, though. I mean, no. I mean, that I wouldn't say that's a...
That's not normal, but they did it with me.
They're lazy with everybody, I should say.
I think so.
They're lazy in general. They're afraid to make any sort of new risky decisions. They follow the decisions of their predecessors.
Man, especially when you go to
what
that,
everybody else
is
doing.
Did you guys go pitch at CBS?
No.
Okay.
We pitched at a major network, though.
We pitched at NBC, CBS.
ABC.
ATF.
ATF.
We pitched all the F's.
They're nice, though, when you go. They treat
FDA.
You like...
FDA.
Yeah, it's a rigmarole. It's just like... I mean, the thing is, you can just always see who the leader in the room is and who all the other followers are. And they're just like, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's all yes men.
Yeah.
And they're so afraid to make any decision on their own.
Nobody
for
wants
fear
to lose their
of
job.
Losing their job. And, you know, I was just listening to this interview by Bob Iger, the head of Disney, and he was talking about a huge mistake he made. He messed up, and then he was like 20-something. And he stepped up and he said, you know what? It was me. I messed everything up. And they were so excited that he stepped up and took responsibility. They didn't even care. They forgot about the problem.
Shocked them.
It shocked them because in that business, in Hollywood, nobody takes responsibility for that stuff. They just, they'll pass it on or, oh, I don't know who did it. Or they're so scared.
So it's pretty much till it gets cracking where people start talking and like, you know, this is a good idea and this and that.
It has to have, that's what I try to do with a lot of my pilots, I try to give more momentum and more hype than they actually have, just to get everybody excited, just to get the networks excited. But when you do that, you know, Raza comes in, oh, he doesn't have anything going on. Why is he making it seem like it's a big deal? It ain't nothing. He ain't doing nothing. So, I mean, you try to use certain methods, but the same methods will take you down from competitors. But that's what networks want. They want attention. They want to see if they can sell a product. They want proof of concept, not on a little trailer, but also in numbers, in social media, and enthusiasm, and in hashtags. But we got to have a front, you know, a united front where we can all pick someone and go with them. I mean, you can have a show. You get everyone to stand behind you. It gets picked up, not because it's a good or good written. It's because people are behind it.
But it's also... the whole game of pitching an idea anyway, though, there's so few that make it through.
Yeah. I'm sure that's an art in itself, too, right?
The whole pitching art. I mean, we went through pitching last year. We're pitching again right now. Next week's our big pitch week to the networks. The studio already said, yeah, we have a studio behind us. Even that studio's sister partner network didn't say yes. They're like, oh, you know, we're on a different – we're staying away from family comedies. Okay, well, then why did that studio send us here to pitch even? Like, what's the point of pitching?
To get a big no.
Yeah, well, get a big no. But then you go through all this stuff, and then finally somebody says yes, and then you got to go through another hurdle. I mean, it's not – they're very closed-minded when they're hearing things, or they're listening, okay, what have I not heard before? That's really what they're listening for.
Well, you guys pitch a lot. What would you say to comedians?
First of all, you can't come into a meeting and say – to within a Latino show out there like this, because they already heard that many times.
Yeah.
You can't go in there saying that there isn't a Latino show out there, we got to have one. You got to just forget about that. Don't even mention that the show Latino. Just show, we have a show that's funny.
Here are the characters.
Here's the characters.
They want to
it's
love
as
the
funny of these guys. Don't mention they're all Latino. They don't know by the names.
Yeah.
And then you go in there, this is the type of show that is not out there. It's about a single mom or a single father, about this and that.
This is
the struggle
tension.
That they do.
Yeah.
This is what struggles that they're going through everybody. And don't even mention that. Don't mention that the struggle that's going through everybody in America, because they don't want to hear. Because then you're nationalizing your show to be a third ethnicity.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to name
you. You got to sell your show, bro. Like, you're selling us fucking the same detergent that we use to wash soap, to wash clothes, basically. And, bro, I don't care, bro. There's one Latino and you're pitching to. That Latino could be Aborigine, bro, because that person's not going to open their mouth.
No, they all close off their ethnicity. Because
I remember I went
meeting.
To a meeting, and I saw the same Latino person there with the same white lady there. And, like, when there's something that the woman did not understand, I mean, that Latino person could have opened their big mouth and explained it to the person you're working with. I mean, I don't have to be the one to be explaining that to her. You're Latina or Latina X too. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. I shouldn't be the one explaining to your boss what the hell I'm talking about. You should just be right there like a Latino monkey saying, hey, you know what?
Tell them this is what we're talking about.
It's like bingo. They play it at home.
Yeah. like she couldn't explain Loteria. You can't explain Loteria in front of her. I got to do it. Oh, she should have turned around and said, oh, Loteria is like a bingo game, like Old Maid. We all play it.
Yeah, it's a validation for us when we're talking in there. But no.
But she's there sitting down like she never played Loteria.
No, they hide all that stuff.
Nobody wants to be a trailblazer, huh?
No, they're all afraid. But the one who does become a trailblazer, then everybody follows that and goes, oh,
that's the woman from ABC who every time I go to a meeting, she stands up. Oh, I love you, Felipe. I'm a big fan. And the main lady gets up, too. Man. And I seen both of them moving up. Because every time I go to a meeting, they're at a higher place.
That's another thing. You run into those people as they move up the ladder, too, if they've stayed.
I always say thank you. They're happy to see me. I don't write no blog hating them. You know, even if I get my show, because I am going to get it, I'm not going to give up. Even if they're there for 10 episodes, it's going to be a long letter written by Lisa in my words. Thanking everybody for the opportunity. Because at the end of the day, all you got to do is say thank you.
Well, you learn that from the comedy clubs. To all the clubs you go, you see thank people you. Move
continued
from,
business, dude. Relationships.
You know, you see them move from stewardess to...
And then you move up. Every show...
Now she's flying the plane.
Every show that's on the air, it's just a product, bro.
It is.
And if they get rid of it... All temporary. The other day was get rid of chocolate milk from the fucking
section. You have to always remember... TV exists to sell products.
Because you can never compare television to the great stand-up career you have going because that doesn't transcend to executives.
And
they don't give a fuck how many times you sell at the Microsoft.
Right. You're in control of your stand-up. You're not in control of that show. The corporate sponsors, the people who buy those products, they're in control of your show. And you have to sit back and take it if you want to keep your show on the air. That's just one of those things.
That's why I tell people, make it a writer.
When they're listening to the pitch, they're not listening about giving you a show. The person listening to it, can I go 20 episodes on this?
Can I manipulate it? Can I do a spinoff from what each of these
fuck
characters?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, look at Blackish. They got like 3 spinoffs and everything.
That was the main question they would ask me.
I was waiting for a Brownish.
Well, they want to look at the longevity. They want to look at what's your story arc? What's the arc of this character in season 2? How much can we do? Like we were talking about,
show me your
our
Bible.
Sitcom and like,
show me your,
and also,
what
man,
makes this character funny?
Also, man,
they
don't want nothing periodic.
Yeah, it's more expensive.
You mean
more
a period
expensive,
piece.
A period piece. They can't have that something that's going to lead to the next show because when they sell the show, they're going to be able. The person that buys it is going to want to show this in different parts.
Are you talking about something that's not episodic?
Well, they can do a prequel to it, and that's when they can put big money to make it periodical.
Like Fargo!
He's talking about episodic, so it's not episodic.
Nobody
so
buys episodic, man.
Some people do, but it's harder to do that. Not a sitcom. It's harder to do that.
Yeah, sitcom has to be a free-flowing. It can change. Anything can change. A person can die. How are we gonna rewrite this?
When we pitched our show the first time, when we got a deal, me, Dustin Ibarra.
With the two showrunners. Two showrunners, you thought, and a studio backing, and they still said no.
Yeah.
We got our holding development money, and we got our fucking penalty fee money. Mm-hmm. It was a good year for penalties.
I think there were five Latino shows.
So anyways, I know that that year, Angela Johnson's show didn't get picked up. Or I don't know how far it went. I know that Fluffy show didn't get picked up. I know that my show was not picked up. I know that Paul Rodriguez and Cheech Marin and Paul Rodriguez Jr. show didn't get picked up.
Gina Brion.
And Gina Brion didn't
get
picked
up. Kevin James backing her, too.
Yeah. And also George,
George wasn't doing one that year.
There was no
year.
George that year.
Not that
so.
Year.
Well,
how they say they can't tell it all no at once. Well,
they did that year. That was 3 years ago, right?
And you know who messed up a lot of it? And I'll tell you.
Rick Nahida.
No. A lot of companies that
don't say bad words here.
They were putting money in
John Leguizamo.
No, in YouTube people. They thought that if they were to give people who had millions of subscribers a development deal, that's it. When they went to network, they realized that these YouTube stars weren't actors or writers.
Or the fans could only stand there for 15 seconds.
Yeah, they only want them for 2 seconds.
I love Angry Orange, but not for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Annoying Orange.
Yeah, so that stopped a lot of money was wasted for like 3 seasons. That and adding the strike of the writers during that time, it ruined so much people saying, you know what, let's develop a show. And it became the year of the era of, I produce my own show. Do you want to buy it? It's already shot. Here are my 12 episodes. There's my 22 episodes. How much do you want for it? And I think we're barely getting back into the studios now producing shows again like they used to, except this time they're on a different platform. They're Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, which is even better because, you know, there's more avenues and there's more demographics on those. There's more.
Yeah.
You can see, you know, not just the, what was the old one back then? What was it called? The ratings, what were they called? The Nielsen?
Nielsen ratings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back then they wouldn't tell you anything. In fact, how many Mexican families had Nielsen rating box in their house?
We had Nelson Ned ratings. But now the networks, like, are I think they're dealing with shows like the cable networks. Like, they're afraid to take a risk and give your ass 20 episodes immediately.
Yeah, they're not even doing 23 anymore.
So we might give you 6.
Yeah.
Or 3, like Lost. Remember Lost gave them 3?
For real?
Lost was given 3, and they didn't think they were going to get picked up.
Oh, you mean the first season?
And once they got picked up, like, what do we do now? Yeah. We didn't know we'd go this far.
So let's get Loster.
Yeah, let's get Loster.
Lost in Space.
Did you see that one on Netflix?
Fuck no. So what's up, man? What you got going on?
I got a podcast going on, the Paragordo Activity Podcast.
Like paranormal, right?
It's paranormal, but it's two fat guys, so it's Paragordos.
So you guys see, like, disappearing.
Oh, we talk about.
Like, the disappearing torta.
No.
The ghost burrito?
The sign of the obese. No, we have different. We talk about people's stories.
DJ Chef, right?
Yeah, Don Hefty, the DJ Chef. We're doing this amazing. We're having guests come in and tell us ghost stories.
Has anybody came in and told like a good ass ghost story?
Oh yeah,
because I love that shit. It's fucking like the Noche de Cocoy. I'm down.
Oh man, we had one recently of a guy who said he was possessed by 100 demons.
Jeff Garcia.
Okay, coming to get you, Doc.
Doc.
And then we had one. I mean, I was a ghost hunter. Remember that?
One had a collecting basket.
Do you remember when I was a ghost hunter?
I remember that shit.
I used to do ghost hunting, and then that's what got me into it, man. I saw some stuff that I didn't want to see again. Right here.
What'd you see, dog?
I was at How'd you the, ghost the, hunt?
The little
that's what
home,
I'm saying,
The
dog.
Little homie's telling a lie when he checks.
Homie start talking. Little homies come alive at night and tell me, hey, you deserve money, bro.
I got ghosted by the producers.
You deserve money.
So what'd you see?
Well, we were at that Alexander. Well, I had a medium, you know, the guy that was.
You had a medium? That's the first time out.
I knew we were going to go. I was waiting for someone to jump on it.
That's why you got Don Hefty.
Yeah, yeah. So now I'm the medium.
There's not a medium in the room.
We have a medium here. That's funny.
So this guy was on like Loveline. He's a renowned psychic.
You should just have a regular size medium.
Does he see ghosts?
Medium large, medium big,
just medium.
Just have Flacco in there. It's your medium. It's the only medium we know.
No, so we were doing the show, and he's a psychic. He's all over the radio, and he says, "Let me go on a ghost hunt with you." We took him. We went to the Alexandria Hotel, the one here on 5th and Spring. Right
that then. Shit is haunted.
We went to they gave us access, full access. We did a whole investigation. We didn't see anything. Around 3 a.m.
A lot of heroin.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. There was. Around 3 a.m., they asked us to go to the 7th floor. We don't see anything. It was a room where one of the guys committed suicide, Valentino, in one of the rooms, and he still haven't opened the door.
Rudy Valentino?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they took away all this, all the cables. We pack everything up. We're leaving. As we're leaving, elevator opens up. A little girl walks out, about like 9 years old, wearing a pink dress, smiles at me and the medium. Psychic, and she goes, and I didn't tell him, why would someone let their daughter out at 3 a.m? You know, he's like, well, first of all, you just saw an apparition that wasn't really there. And I think after I saw that, it was so real, it was so on a level where it was like a real person, not like it was transparent on that bullshit they say, you know, ghost star. It was real, and I couldn't see for like maybe like a week, man.
You couldn't see after that?
I couldn't sleep because every time I closed my eyes, I saw a little girl. So after a month of research, we found out that in 1909, the Alexandria was built. And the architect, his daughter fell in the elevator shaft. That's what we got from that story. And then we actually have an EVP, electric voice phenomenon, of someone talking in there. And we have a video of black mass flying around in the ballroom. In fact, we did the ballroom together.
Is black mass evil?
It's, I mean, you can't, well, you don't understand something, you know, we tend to call it evil. I don't know. It didn't hurt us.
There's nothing to understand, Hassa. So yeah. Apparitions, ghosts, they're real people? Look at Lisa.
They're not real people. I mean, they look like, what we saw. But we have all
this. It sounds made up.
I think for the first time, I agree with Alex DeLarge.
I've never seen a ghost and people say, like, all this house is haunted.
You've seen a ghost?
I thought I did.
You thought you did.
Look, when I was a little
kid. That's what my mom told me.
I was living in a project, four-bedroom apartment, one bath.
Candyman.
Candyman
haunts the project.
I thought I saw an old lady pass by. Right? And then after that, I found a baseball. Right? And then
he was Joe Jackson.
There were these lesbian chicks, bro. They were hardcore lesbians. And
you can hear them grind outside.
You know they're hardcore.
The way they look.
Because they threw scissors at people. I don't know. Because, you know, growing up, we don't know like anything other but the male version of a lesbian.
Yeah, like, a butch.
I didn't know no other lesbians. So for us, that was hardcore.
Yeah.
Because this chick used to wear a Levi jacket, bro. It would be 100 degrees. And she had like a mullet, bro.
That's hardcore.
And she had jeans and wallabies, bro.
First lesbian I ever seen was a chola.
And then her homegirl, she had curly hair like Dusty Rhodes, bro. Nobody wanted to be with her, bro. Like Harley Dusty Race. Mark.
Like the kid in Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Had some gum in there, huh?
Yeah, imagine that girl being a... Yeah, man. And all they did was jump fools all day.
All day,
bro. The kind of chicks, bro, like, they'll be like some paisa will be like catcalling them. Hey, mija, mijo. And then they'll turn around, bro, and beat the fuck out of them, bro. So that chick told me, you know, my aunt used to live at that house. She died there. Her grandma died at that house.
Did she play baseball?
Yeah, man. She played with Babe Ruth.
Give her the screwball. Holmes.
So, yeah, you should have Karen Rontowski on. We had her on. She's a comic.
Karen, bro, you gotta get her
on. She reads tarot cards.
Oh, yeah, wow. She's probably the only person that I've ever liked that, like, is kind of like, all right, dude, I can probably
she's
possibly
really,
leave awesome. This
she's
shit.
Really good. So, but she's cool, and she's funny, too. And then Brian Scolaro has a lot of ghost stories.
Brian Scolaro, a good friend.
He has ghost stories.
He has great stories.
He told us a story about that condo in some city, mm-hmm. and the cabinets were opening. And then he finally, like, made friends with the ghost. Every time he went to the bedroom, the cabinets would all
open.
Was
it at Zany's?
I don't remember where it was, but I can't remember the story, but or that detail.
Yeah.
But he said every time he would go into the bedroom to sleep, that all the cabinets would open and the lights would turn on. And then he came out and then they would close. And then so he made a deal with the ghost. So what if I sleep out here on the couch? And then he slept there and then the cabinets all stayed closed that night. They didn't want him in the bedroom.
Go get a hotel.
That's what I would have done.
Would you want?
Fuck that. I would have got my drill and just fucking drill fucking screws in those fucking doors. Fuck you, ghost.
What's up, fool? Upcoming show this week. I'm going to be in Los Angeles finally.
Wow.
October 4th at the Microsoft Theater. The next day, I'll be in Yuma area, Winter Haven, California, Quechan Casino. Riverside, October 8th, all Spanish show, Life Arts Center. All the money goes to the Life Arts Center. You gotta come out here, man. They got chips, soda.
You're pushing that show
wine.
With chips.
They got chips.
St. Paul, Minnesota, October 11th, Ardway Center. Stillmar, California, October 5th, Casa Torres. This place has tortillas. It's good stuff. Also, San Antonio, October 26th, Tobin Center. Almost sold out. Damn.
Both of those, Riverside, you can only buy tickets at the door. The day of the show, like what, 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, doors open at 7.
And then the Casa Torres show, those are free shows, but you got to come early because they fill up fast. And people were there at 5 o'clock last time for an 8 o'clock show. And holding down a bar stool because it's a bar show. It's small. We're keeping the Spanish show small.
We got Chasta, Nestle,
Fanta.
Ovaltine.
October 16th in Boyle Heights at the Paramount. We have
a show coming up, bro.
I have a show that is not going to have anybody show up because everyone's going to be watching Felipe Esparza at the Microsoft.
Or the Dodger game.
Or the Dodger game.
Or Joker. There's a lot of stuff to compete with.
I have family friends. I have family. I have best friends that told me, hey, man, I love you, but I'm going to go see Felipe on Friday.
Sounds like family to me.
That sounds like family to me. Emilio Rivera calls me. He's like, hey, I know I told you I was going to go to your show on Friday at the Ice House, but
hey,
I'm going to go with Emilio Carnal.
Felipe.
Yeah.
Felipe Carnal.
Yeah. And
He hasn't returned our text.
Oh, man. No one's referred. Not one person.
What's up, fool? How'd you meet George Lopez,
bro? Where are you going to be, though?
Where are you going to be at?
I'm going to be at the Ice House on Friday at 10 o'clock. And then I'm going to be on the 27th of October at the Bray Improv, also doing the Perigordo activity on stage.
The show, the one of the Brian Empire, let's get back to that show. What day is that?
The 27th of October.
Are there tickets for sale or are there guest list?
They're for sale.
That's a Saturday.
Saturday. October 27th, man. Para Gordo activity. Anybody out there that has a strange or a ghost encounter, hit up Momo Rodriguez on Instagram and maybe you maybe get a chance to say it on stage.
Pretty good chance.
Pretty good chance.
Really good chance.
Pretty good chance you'll get picked.
Really good.
What's up, fool? How did you meet George Lopez?
I met George Lopez by crashing his studio and then crashed his golf tournament.
Sounds about right.
I went in there.
How'd you crash your studio?
I went in the studio. I went as a seat filler, and I told them for a different show. And then I stayed in the restroom for about 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then I left. You know how they give the audience unlimited? So I stayed in the restroom for 4 hours. Once the closest clear, it came out. I went on to the sound stage.
That's fucking scandalous.
I got into the sound stage. I told him I was his cousin.
And you told George you were his cousin?
No, I told the page at the door.
That George was your cousin.
George was my cousin. They let me in, and then a PA stopped me, and they said, you're not his cousin.
Did
and
George
then,
know you yet?
No.
And then I got, that takes some fucking
And
balls.
Then I got zip-tied. I was zip-tied because the handcuffs couldn't reach my back. So they had to get these zip ties.
What'd you tell him to get out of them? Oh, I hate Carlos Mencia, too.
So I'm sitting there. Oh, man. I'm sitting there so uncomfortable. And then after I was let go, and then
my legs fell asleep.
And then they let me go on the studio audience and do some time. And then he told me to go to the Ice House. And then years later,
just go take some comedy classes.
Yeah, go take some comedy. Go see Bobby Oliver.
Rudy Moreno.
He's trying to give me the brush off.
So then a few years later, I crashed his golf tournament at Lakeside, which is a difficult golf tournament. It's one of the biggest golf tournaments.
And I thought you were good at crashing shit, bro.
I was about
you
to say
the wrong thing.
I don't do scandalous shit like that, Felipe. So.
Not when George is involved.
Wait. How'd you get involved? How'd you get in the golf course?
Well, I snuck in through the one in front
of. Dressed up at the cart.
No.
Get on my back, eh?
So it was the one right in front of Warner Brothers. So I was waiting for, I saw someone I knew.
Shacky.
So I saw Emilio Rivera pull up, and I went behind Emilio in his car, and I was dressed all golf out. And as he talked to security.
I know that photo, but you took the photo of that player. You were invited, bro.
No, I wasn't invited. That's what I told people.
That was the second one.
That was the third one. I got invited.
So wait, you dressed up. You were all golfed out. Describe what all golfed out.
Wearing Walmart golf shirts, freaking.
Wearing cleats.
With cleats.
Looking like John Daly and shit. Dude,
with high khakis all the way up, tucked in. I didn't know what to. And I had a swap meet bag that I bought, a golf bag with like two clubs, but I covered up.
Even hired Jerry Garcia to be his caddy.
So I'm at the gate, and the guy's talking to Emilio, security's talking to Emilio, and just so he knows that I'm also supposed to be there, I yell at Emilio, Emilio, what's up, man? So that way Emilio looks at me, and the security guard sees
Adam
me that,
there,
I, that I know him.
But this fool got farther, eh?
Yeah. So once I got, it was my turn, he goes, Emilio's confused, like, what's up? And yeah, he's confused, like, what the fuck is he doing? He's saying hi to me right now, the worst time to say hi to me. But I noticed.
Excuse you, bro. Yeah.
So what's this guy saying?
He noticed,
like, he's trying to sneak in. Emilio knew.
Hey, homie.
And behind me was the guy from the Big Bang Theory, the Indian guy. I don't even know his real name, but I wanted to pretend I still know him, too. So, like, what's up, Raj? And then him, too. Like, hey, what's up? So now everyone's looking. The security's looking like, oh, he's supposed to be in here. So when it's my turn to talk to security, I'm like, Momo Rodriguez, you here to play golf? Oh, yeah, yeah. Big day, man. Bullshitting him, whatever.
Big day.
He's like, well, you're not on the list.
Get out on the link.
He's like, you're not on the list. I'm like, so I researched everybody who was involved.
How does George Lopez feel about this?
He wants to say he's related to a golfer, but he fucks up the name.
I'm Chichi Rodriguez.
I'm related to Steve Trevino.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, man, I'm sexy Mexican too.
You know, so I walk. The guy looks at me. He goes, "You know what? You're not on the list." I'm like, "You know, want me to call Linda Small?"
We got Juan Daly here, bro.
Wait. So, he said what? He said you're not on the list. And what?
So I said, "Well, do you want me to call Linda Small? She's in charge of the organization. I could also call." And I named all these names of people.
You know the people?
I memorized a list of who was involved, the board members.
Ooh, you got classified documents, dog.
I memorized.
Wait, you threw out Leslie.
How come you're not using this power for good?
Linda Smalls.
Oh, I thought you meant Leslie Smalls.
Linda Smalls. I threw her name out, and then they're like, "You know what?
We met her. Yeah.
She's like, "You know what? Just go ahead and just go inside. They'll figure it out. You go to registration. They'll figure everything out for you." So I go in first security checkpoint. Then it's the second one. It's the one that's aligned to go into the actual, you know, the golf course. And on that one, I just, you know, had to get out of breath, so I just freaking walked around my car. And I went towards the lady, and I pretended I had to go to the bathroom really bad. Like, I need to pee real bad. I couldn't find the restroom. I got out. I came to my car to put my clubs away. She goes, "Sweetie, just go straight here, and there's a clubhouse." So I got into the clubhouse. Then I see Emilio looking at me. Like, Emilio has this look on his face, like, mother, like, don't talk to me. Like, don't talk to me, bro.
Don't talk to me, my chula.
Don't talk to me. Burr. So I go to Emilio. I'm like, hey. He goes, looks at me like, don't talk to me right now. I'm like, why? Because I know you snuck in. I don't want people to think I brought you.
Like, I would have been the same way, dog.
Right? So we're looking at,
you've done that before.
We're looking at each other. We're looking at each other.
I put my belt off, dog.
Right? Emilio goes, it's cool. I'm like, it's cool. George knows I'm here. And George is right behind me. And I turn around, and George tells me, looks at me like, again? And then he goes, listen, have a good time. Just stay out of the way. So I was there the whole day, partying with them. By the end of the night, it was me and George having drinks at this table. And I'm telling him ideas on what
you told him you choked when see it, huh?
I sat on him.
I go in there, I tell him. We start talking. Like, we start talking about what I'm doing, some ideas. And then he's like, well, if you have ideas, send them to me. So we start talking, and we became friends on Twitter. And then eventually we started working close. And now I work on some great projects with him and then with Edward James Olmos. They all, I mean, it.
We're
really
here
cool,
with
man.
A relationship based on false pretenses.
Yes,
Bro,
he saw me hustle.
After all that shit you did over there for free, bro, you got to do something over here, dog.
That was a desperate move. That
you
was
had
one of those.
To, bro.
That was one of those like last shot. Like this
you
is
had
my
to.
Last chance.
I had to. You know,
you got to do something, bro.
And because I feel I have talent. I know I do. So I just need the right opportunity. And I felt if I put myself in that opportunity and they see it, maybe something good will happen.
You mentioned the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, who could break into
bro? Let's get
clubhouse, Momoy.
Let's bring
Mario,
it down,
Mario Cruz. We're gonna need a golf outfit.
Let's bring it down. For
a picture
in.
With a golf outfit for Momo.
There's no way you could do that with a homie, huh?
No,
Me and Rodrigo always talk about that. There's no way to sneak it alone.
And that's why I always and people think that I just don't have a clique of people that I know. I'm always by myself because not
hold
that
on,
I don't
because
you're prepared to sneak.
How
in
the
everywhere.
Fuck did you get into Tropicalia?
Oh, bro.
You got in with Dia de los Puertos.
I want to know. I want to know.
Because
you were hanging out with fucking Los Tigres, dog.
No, he wasn't.
No, he didn't.
No, I was hanging out with you.
Dia de los
I was hanging out with you.
No, he was behind the gate.
Yeah, how the fuck did you get in? Other
well,
way in?
First of all, I wasn't even supposed to be with you, but then since you waved me over.
Yeah, that's all good. That's
he used you like a
but I already knew by that then.
Yeah, you knew he was.
I already knew, but you know he made it this far.
Right, because we were standing over and he goes, Felipe goes, Momo's over there. Momo's over there. He's like trying to sneak his way in.
You told him I want to get in trouble and shit. Like, how could you bring that homie with no pass?
Yeah. And I didn't have a wrist band on me the whole time. Yeah, no wrist
how
band.
The fuck did you, tell me, bro, you didn't pay to get in.
I'm supposed to be here right now.
You didn't get in. I don't know, Ada Rodriguez. Anyways, Momo, how did you? Because I know you didn't pay to get in. How'd you get in?
Okay, I got in through the back entrance, through a guy.
I love this guy.
By the water?
No. By the stage where you guys were at, where your trailer was at.
Yeah. Oh shit! So you came in through the street.
I came in through the street. I walked.
I snuck in there without a pass because I wasn't seen trying to.
Now I walked.
You were sharing your wristband, right, or something like that.
No, I walked through that.
This fool parked to the last guy.
I walked over the bridge.
Oh wow, that's far.
Because there was no Ubers. Because everybody was doing. So there was no Ubers. So I actually had to walk over the bridge.
They had school buses bringing people.
It was crazy. I show up and then I see those tigres and otters. They were like their crew was there.
It was clean, huh? Compared to other place.
So I walk into the side and then I hit my boy up from Dia de los Puertos. And I'm like, hey man, you said you had a pass for me? Oh bro, I don't know right now. It's too busy. I'm over here. Like, don't worry about it.
Hard to
out.
Get those passes.
I'll figure it out. So I got in through somebody else I knew that works for a tequila company, and I walked in with them. I walked up to the VIP room. From then, I had somebody walk me to behind the stage that was from Dia de los Puertos. They took off the wristband and they gave it to me. And I went in there, and then after I gave them
Momo's
the wristband back.
Momo's trying to squeeze his hands.
Oh, man, that was hard. I have an art to making these hands can be small.
He's like rolling it up.
So then what happened?
So then I go to the bag, and he's like, listen, just stay here and don't go anywhere. And it was on the side of the stage where you saw me. Just don't move. Don't track attention to yourself. Don't do anything. Don't make sure no one sees you. And then all of a sudden I go, Felipe! When he passes by, and I start talking to Felipe. And we had a barrier, right? We hadn't even had a barrier, and I couldn't. And I was like, I better even come.
You made it through the barrier.
I made it through the barrier later on.
But we were behind the barrier.
We couldn't
then
get in the barrier.
But then once Tigres came out, they had extra security that kicked everybody
Duane
out, even all the performers.
Everybody
well,
they, everyone out.
They thought I was a stagehand.
Well, yeah, but like we had, we weren't even supposed to be up on the side. That was their family only.
Yeah,
came in with Scam and Jammy.
And then we had one of the guys like help us go over there, but they were saying no to us. And it was like, but that woman just told us to come with her, and she did. She was their daughter.
Well, I followed the Chicano Batman guy to that place.
We finally got over there.
That's how I got there.
He's playing the maracas, dog.
I was following.
What time did you get there?
I got there right
6 a.m.
Right when two bands before Los Tigres.
Oh, so you like timed it perfectly, yeah. Bro. You came in at the
Café Tacuba.
You came in at
Café
night.
Tacuba. I missed Café Tacuba.
Probably right finished, after.
They went too long anyways.
Yeah, I missed them. And I saw Chicano Batman play.
Yeah.
I saw Chicano Batman, and after that, I knew some of the guys. Well, I thought I did.
Okay, besides this event, which is small compared to the type of stuff you have snuck into,
yeah.
What have been the toughest play for you to snuck in and the most rewarding?
Oh, man. That would be, for me personally, I'm a big fan of Vicente Fernandez. So that was a long time ago. I stuck into Pico Rivera Sports Arena through the back.
You know, how, dude? How?
Yeah, you know what, what's your tactic?
Well, you know where they bring in the horses because they have like a hottie bell?
Oh, the horse. You put long hair on it. Give me a saddle.
I broke it to the back. I broke it to the back part where they bring in like all the guys dancing. So after they're done dancing, the horses come out in the rail and they put the horses back in the trailers.
Momo brought a pooper scooper. He's trying to like
if you were at Tejana, you can get through anything.
Yeah.
That night. So I was wearing a cowboy hat, went through, and I remember I didn't have real boots. I had actually Adidas on. And I was
Adidas boots.
I was sinking into
you
that
put
dirt.
Shit in them, huh?
Oh, I was sinking into them because it was, first of all, you know, overweight guy, a little heavier, and that soil was so like light. I was sinking in, and then they had Banda Limonense was coming off. And I was pretending to be one of their stage guys. So I was just watching them. And I just kicked it right back behind one of the rails where I guess the bull riders go. And I just watched the whole concert right there. Like if I was a bull, we're going to get released, bro. It's beautiful.
Another
I was waiting for somebody to jump on top of me and me go out crazy.
Fucking funny.
That was fucking probably the best.
That's fucking funny.
But you're right. You have to be by yourself.
You can't be with the homies, right?
Because the homies
no stragglers,
don't.
Dog.
We're trying to sneak into this big old concert in San Diego. And Rodrigo just jumped the fence and took off.
And what do you guys do? What are you guys waiting for?
We took like dummies. And then Ivan went, when he jumped the fence, the bottom was loose and yeah. Ivan went under it. And then like me and Vinny were scared. So we went all the way around and finally we found an opening.
There's always, you gotta just, look, the best one that got me work sneaking in was the golf course for the Tony Plana Classic Golf Theater. The Tony Plana Golf Classic.
How'd you get into that?
It was in the one up in the City of Industry. So there's all these little hills, right? Over there, I forgot what it's called, the Pacific Palms up there. And there's a
that's
back.
That's where George shot the show, right?
It's like La Puente?
Yeah.
You know where that is? Yeah.
So it's like there's a lot of entrances from the back. So I got in through the back and I got in there. And I remember I got in through using my LA TV press pass.
Damn.
That's something
that
for Melly.
Genius.
Right? So I went in there and I thought, and then I started doing, and I called my guys, hey, I can get in. Bring the camera crews. So my homies show up with the camera crew, with all the lavaliers, mics, everything. And I did interviews. I went around, I don't know how they gave, why they gave me a golf cart. They gave me two of them. I went around interviewing everybody on the celebrity tournament. Then in the end, Carlos Mencia was performing. So I'm like, well, who's opening? And then I think they had an opener. So I wrote my name on the lineup that they had of the MC had. So they gave the lineup to Tony Plana. Tony Plana, you know, fucking jefe. So Tony Plana reads, we're going to bring up another comedian before Carlos comes. He's still golfing himself. Give it up for Mr. And he's trying to, he didn't know who I was, but he pretended he did. Very funny guy. I mean, this guy, we're happy to have him here. We're happy to have him here.
Did you write yourself in as the closer?
No, yeah, I should have. So they bring me up stage, and I'm still wearing like sweats and from golf because I didn't know what to wear at a golf tournament. So I wore sweats. That was my first one.
Sweats, bro.
That was my first one.
This is my first golf tournament I snuck into.
There was no clubhouse here.
It was the only thing I knew about being athletic was wearing sweats. So I show up.
Not golf.
Right? I show up and
you should put your socks up and act like they were like old fashioned golf pants.
They give me
Snickers.
I go up on stage and I see all my heroes: Edward James Olmos, Tony Plana, Andy Garcia, Isam, all the Latino legends that
you guys
I grew
know
up.
My uncle. Eh?
Yeah. So I go up there, and I just do like 15 minutes, and there was one joke that I did that got the attention of Cheech Marin. It was
Cheech paid attention.
Yeah, I was like, I don't usually do charity events. I got in trouble the last one I said because I asked what the charity was for, and they were like, it's battered women, and I was like, oh, that sounds delicious. Put me down for a dozen, and it was and everybody was like, nobody knew what to say after
all right,
that joke.
Right, that's pretty funny. All
nobody right. knew what to say. In fact, a lot of people were offended by that joke, and then Cheech just yells, hilarious, hilarious. And then Cheech goes to Mencia. You should take him on the road, just like that. And Mencia goes, "What are you doing this weekend?" I'm like, "Nothing." He's like, "You want to go to Reno?" I'm like, "Let's go." And that's how I got on the road.
And then you marry his sister.
I married his sister. Yeah.
You snuck into that too.
You got a whirlwind of chaos over here, dog.
Did you parlay that show?
Snuck into the family.
Did you parlay that show into sneaking into Cheech and Chong's dressing room?
Nah, man. I wish, man. Well, actually, Cheech and I actually started to develop a little bit of a relationship with Cheech because after, you know, I always see him at George's events. Pretty much
Cheech doesn't remember somebody from the next, from one event to the next.
I have to introduce myself every time.
Yeah. He's that kind of guy.
I would take it personal then.
No, I don't know.
It's everybody.
Yeah, but then, you know, it's who he always has his assistant with. I mean, his publicist, she always, like, tells him in the ear, oh, this is Momo. I feel like, oh, what's up, Momo? Like,
man, you've been caught?
I don't care if I saw the whole thing. Yeah, I got caught three times.
And they kick your ass out and allow your celebrity friends saw you getting kicked out?
Yeah, I've been kicked out.
Where, bro? How embarrassing was that?
I got kicked out of the premiere of the Homies show, bro.
Oh, no fucking way. That's your show, though.
After,
you're the writer.
After you were gone? Like, after.
That sucks.
You know who kicked me out, bro?
You, Rodrigo.
But it was an accident because I think.
An accident.
They saw me in the green room and I was.
You were like, Ernie G, talking too much?
No, I was in the green room. Like, I went to go put something away for Rick, like a box of, I don't know what it was, a flyers or something. I put it away and then I think B-Real's people thought I was trying to, like,
who is this Momo trying to get up on my blizzy?
Yeah, so they think, who are you? I'm on the show.
I might have little eyes, but I saw him.
Like, you're not on this show. I'm like, no, but I'm on the show. The homies, I'm like, well, you're not performing tonight. So I don't think they misunderstood me. And then they're like, well, you have to leave.
I don't think they misunderstood at all.
I mean, so they kicked me out. And then, you know, I didn't have a cell phone. I had a pager back then, bro.
Oh, who you was this, bro?
They kick you out.
I'm taking the bus.
They kick you out holding your arm?
No, they kicked me out with two guys in yellow coats behind me. I say security.
What they say, bro?
They're like, you're going to have to just come with us, big man. Once I hear big man, take you back to your seat outside.
No, it's over.
Hey, big man. Once I hear big man, it's over. So they walk outside, and I'm out there like just sitting there.
Oh, my God, so funny.
And I have no, and I'm like, shit, I can't take the bus because my ride's in there.
So your ride didn't even get caught?
I'm just out there the whole night. And
Rick, fucking scam artist, huh? Right?
You live life by your chin, 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 bro.
So Rick Najero is supposed to take me home.
Rick Najero, the game of bad mouth.
Yeah,
he's the one that got you kicked out. You know, you realize it.
So I get out there. And I'm
still dealing with this guy?
Hey, I need my check, home.
So it's a love-hate relationship.
He told him to come pick up his check there.
So it's 2 in the morning.
Cupcake, dog.
So it's 2 in the morning, I'm out there, and I'm like, I need to ride home, man. The buses ain't running no more. And I see Rick come out, and Rick goes, oh, you're still here? I'm like, yeah, I'm here. He's like, can I get a ride home? I suffer from night blindness, so I can't really give you a ride home. And I'm thinking, well, how are you getting
How's
home?
How's he getting home, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he don't live in, like, at this point, I live in Norwalk. You know, he lives in over here. He's like,
Santa Monica.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, how am I going to get home? And he's like, it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one, and then he just left me there, and then I think I just got a ride, and I waited till like 6 in the morning until the bus ran again. So there I am, like just being kicked out of B-Real.
Taking away
on Sunset Boulevard.
Yo, there I am.
And then I walked to Mel's Diner, and then I didn't have any money, bro. I'm just in
the then I convinced Spielberg, I was his cousin.
That was a rough night. And then after that,
you should have convinced the waitress you were her cousin.
I know, right?
Get some free dinner.
But I snuck into some cool things, and I've been kicked out a lot of cool things.
Can you tell me how Ernie G snuck into his dressing room at the end of the George Lopez taping?
What?
No, Bumble wasn't around back then.
No,
I know. I'm just saying, like, how? What do you think his methods were?
He was already kind of like begging at the front door by the time we got there, and then we went around.
You were there that night?
Yeah.
You were there that night?
At the theater?
At
El Rey?
Yeah. I didn't know you were there. I didn't see you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then
he was outside the audience.
Because
Pat and I, Pat,
yeah, you guys,
his manager couldn't even get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she was trying to hit you up. And
I was so
he
mad.
Was even like, George didn't even show up, and he was trying to host the show.
Yeah.
Well, George showed up later.
Yeah,
George, but he was trying to host, get
on the lineup.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
That's brave, huh?
And I mean, was like, check this motherfucker what? Out right now.
But I respect people. I break into their shit, but I respect people.
There's a difference between fucking trying to fucking be a fucking.
Imagine if George Lopez would have showed up and saw Ernie G hosting.
Oh, he would have lost it, dude. I would have loved to see that, dog.
I would have loved to see that. He would have finally gotten told what's up. But. When I went backstage after the show, Pat and I were walking backstage, and then I walked into the dressing room. My soon-to-be husband, her client, we couldn't get in there. Ernie G's sitting on the couch in there. And Felipe's just like, like, you know, kill me face on, like, yeah. You can't get rid of this guy. And then George, I think, yeah. was about to come in and say something to you, and he walked right out.
He went up the little stoop, he saw him, and went back down.
Yeah, he walked right back down.
So my respect, man. See, people, you know, I respect Felipe
good intentions,
because
dude.
Felipe gave me my first paid gig.
Where at?
It was at the Alexander Hotel.
That's right.
You had me open for you, feature for you, and then...
That's why we were there for that...
What's his name? Black dude from
Gary Morris.
Gary Morris.
Oh. You know, that night they told us it was haunted.
Yeah.
That's the Downtown Comedy
Club. Yeah, Downtown Comedy Club.
Yeah, he was the first comic to pay me. That's why.
It echoed in there, huh, when we were performing?
That was the first place they did the Academy Awards, that ballroom.
And well, the first Academy Award ballroom was the Roosevelt.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's what Lido
was. They did some in Biltmore, too. The Biltmore Hotel then the Alexandria.
Alexandria.
It was like the seventh one, dude.
Yeah, I forgot my question. What was the last thing you snuck into?
The Latin Grammys. No, the Latin Grammys, that was a little early on. I snuck in that one as a seat filler, right? I got into a
Creamery.
Yeah. So there's a bus that picks them up over there by USC, and it was at the one by USC, that theater,
the Shrine.
So I told my friend, look, man, they're having seat fillers going. They're all wearing tuxes, and we wore tuxes on purpose because I knew how it worked because I saw it the year before I was trying to do it. So I did recon.
12 months of prep.
So we went in there, and he was too afraid. I'm like, you know, I'm going by myself again. Don't bring your friend. I go in there. I get into the bus, and they sit me next to Lupillo Rivera, right? And Los Tigres Norte on the other side. And I'm sitting in, you know, Alex Syntek?
Yeah.
I'm sitting in Alex Syntek's seat next to his wife. So the rule is, once you're done, during the commercial break, you can't get up. And then that's when they come in and they tap you for you to move your seat. Well, he came in, he ran when he was supposed to during the commercial break. And he was telling me to get up. And I know the rules. I'm not supposed to get up. I don't want to get fired. Because I think they were going to pay me, too, for this. And he's like, yeah.
That'll be a good t-shirt right there. Yeah. I think they're going to pay me for this.
So, this is your last words on your tombstone. Yeah. I think they're going to pay me for this.
So Alex Syntek goes.
I guess the homie show was like, I thought they were going to pay me.
Yeah. So they're like, levantate. It's mi esposa. It's my wife. And I'm like, oh, I know, but I can't get up, bro. Like, I know. My Spanish is good and it's great. But when another Mexican speaks it with me, I get confused.
Especially,
he's not that great, you know. I get confused. Like, I didn't know how to react.
Careful of us, dog.
I think my Spanish is bad.
I got really bad. And he's like, you know, I love this music. And he goes, it's my seat. You know, this is my wife. And I'm like, I understand that.
Good for you,
but that guy over there.
Now you're having an argument with the guy.
And so you see us, my sister says you could see us arguing during the commercial where they pan and they zoom in with the crane. Me and Alex Syntek talking back and forth. So the guy comes, he's like, you need to get up now. So I get up, and you see me like this lonely guy just running down the aisle. Because they told me to run. And when a fat guy runs, bro.
I thought it was the coat is there. Yeah,
he goes to get paid. I sit down, and I bump into Lupio Rivera, bro, coming down. And
Pariente.
Bam, he goes out of the way. His hat falls. And you see this all in the background when they're coming in from the award show.
You're better off sneaking in, bro.
Yeah,
fuck this, bro.
Yeah, screw the legit way.
I got paid.
They did pay you.
They knock it down hats,
they pay
bro.
You.
He's wearing it, eh?
They pay
you. Yeah. He got that from Billy Jack.
they pay you $50 and a Pollo Loco gift card.
That's what they give you.
These scandalous. Probably got those donated, dude.
Of course
but it was
did.
The Latin Grammys. They don't have money. And it was the
They've
last
got
time,
money. They're not giving it to
ass,
you.
It was the last time La Ley performed. That was the last concert. That was the last time. Damn, man.
Damn.
And I snuck into a lot of good things. But now, thank God, I'm being invited, finally. I was just invited to Los Ramon Ayala's concert. That was pretty cool, man. To take my mom and dad, you know, like...
Were they nervous and shit? Like,
my dad.
Right now, they're going to tap us on the shoulder, eh?
Your dad?
My dad told me, like, wait, bro, we can be here? He's like, yeah. So my dad's like, just act natural. And so after the show, the board members of the fair invited us to go to the VIP room. And all these Latinos were there talking. And my dad, I saw him making lies up to... Because they thought we weren't supposed to be there.
That's where you get it from, man.
So when father.
Right? So when I walk by, you tell everybody he has like 4,000 cows in Chihuahua that he owns a farm.
Fucking liar.
Puro ganao.
But then ganao in Chihuahua. And I'm like, damn, what are
you talking about?
Puro longhorn. Yeah, man. Hey, man, but let me tell you. If it wasn't for him, he snuck into this country. So that's where I get it from.
He didn't snuck in, bro. He lied away.
He lied his way in.
He had, hey, he had a ladder, bro. We're doing a job next door.
This country was already ours, bro. Right, think about it that way, bro. Think about it like that.
This was a slam before everybody else met it.
Oh, man.
It was fun, man. But
you should have a podcast. Forget the...
Yeah, fool.
No, forget that stuff. Call it like...
Getting Sneaky with Momo.
Or Get In Where You Fit In with Momo or something.
But no, man, I want to thank you because you really did help me a lot.
Hell yeah, bro. I always believed in you, bro.
I believe in that. You always help me. You're always there since day one.
You stuck around, bro. You're a hustler, bro.
These are just more lies.
These are more lies.
He's pulling Felipe in right now, huh?
He's using you.
I'm going to be in the right home with him in the middle.
He's trying to get to the Microsoft.
Yeah, I know. Like,
but one thing about this fool, though, he was never a dick. He was always cool.
Oh, that's true.
And I know there was people that were dicks with you, dog.
Oh, my gosh. I have stories.
You were never a dick.
One thing about Momo is that he was hanging around with people that nobody liked. It must have been tough on you, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't know you had a stink on you.
You know what? Yeah. I hung around with everybody, but I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt because...
What's that fact, Doc?
It's entertainment, you know? I mean...
It's entertainment. Eh?
Everybody has their
it's
own...
It's my life.
My life. But everybody has their own idea of someone, and I never like to be in part of anybody's clique.
Yeah,
I never follow with anybody. I love to have my own experience with people. If someone says that dude's a dick, well, let me experience it myself because I don't want to take anybody... Because at the end of the day, you know... Casting directors, I see how, you know, they judge you on you. They don't judge you about what somebody else says. So
all individually.
Yeah. So
the producer will judge you on what somebody else says.
Exactly. The producer will. But I didn't want to have any cliques either because just like, Felipe said, you can't bring your homie to sneak into things. You also can't be part of a clique to belong to something greater than you, which is entertainment. Like at the end of the day, you know, people go see Felipe because they love Felipe, you know, and I want one day to be able to come see because they love me, not my clique.
You know, people start sneaking into your show.
Yes, exactly.
But you just snuck into a show for the I don't know what group it was. He made it all the way in, and they passed him a cake.
I went to the System of a Down show.
They passed you a cake?
No, because they were having they have their cake, and only the guitar player and the drummer came down, dude. But I was like, hey, the guitar player's like, hey, you want to slice? I'm like, yeah, I'll take a fucking slice. You know, how you doing? Let's take a picture.
Do you know Michelle Branch is?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Because I'm homebound.
Okay, so 10 years ago, she did a music video in Long Beach at a bowling alley. Right next to the roundabout in Long Beach. There's a little bowling alley right there.
Right there in front of the Ferris wheel.
So my friend and I were there, and we saw all these trucks, all these, you know, grip trucks and all these production trucks. So we went to go beach chismosi see what was going on. And we ended up sneaking in to grab service. And we were eating Pollo Loco right there, just having a good time again, Pollo Loco.
Damn, dog.
So we're having a good time.
Full circle with your right? Dog.
And we're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, we need you guys now. And then they made me wear a trench coat. And they put, like, music, like a
who made you? The directors?
The director.
Like, they're coming over and dressing you for the video.
Exactly. Like a metronome. Like, ding, ding, ding. And they just had us, like, go back and forth like this in a room, in a room in the bowling alley. It was a Michelle Branch video.
They put you in that room. Those were all the people who snuck in. And
yeah, where's all my eaters at?
I'm going everywhere with the skeleton key.
Hey, where's the people we lured here with Pollo Loco?
Where's that gift card?
No,
they're all in the room.
No, you got to do ballsy.
I think they're in the video.
If I was a security guard watching that video, that motherfucker just kicked out. He's back here. Well,
you got to do ballsy
power,
shit.
Power to him.
You did a lot of ballsy shit in your career.
Fuck yeah.
I saw it. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, also inspired me. Like, you know what? Hey, you were your own guy. You didn't have somebody else. You didn't have anybody cookie cut you. You know, you didn't follow what the other guys you were around were. And you were with a lot of guys that we were, you know, big time. You didn't copy what they did. And I saw it to myself. I'm like, well, he's his own person. And to this day, everyone says, Felipe's Felipe. And I think that's what every comic wants. He wants to have his own identity and he wants to have his own brand, but he's too afraid and too comfortable to make that leap.
Rodrigo's going to sneak into George Lopez, who eating my poop party.
I spoke about some real weed.
That's a great party, man. That's a crazy party.
How hard would it be to sneak into that party and not invite it?
You know,
and George Lopez not knowing that he didn't invite
those,
you.
No,
there's
you know some what? People in those photos that I think they
were questionable.
Yeah, they were like part, you know, like plus
seven.
There's
some people at that party were questionable. Like
I think that first
Stoner Rob.
No, it was Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Peterson.
He was there, and I was like, how did this?
That's what I was saying. I was like, dude, what's up on the ball here?
Acting like 20 years.
That's the horrible thing about having a plus one.
I was like, big dog, like what's going on here with your parties now?
They have a plus one, and then I think also – you know, as the night progresses,
more fools show up.
More people show up.
Your plus threes show up.
Yeah, I came with Fraser Smith, buddy.
Your plus threes that were waiting out in the driveway.
I didn't come over here now, dog.
Like, I didn't go this year.
He's drunk enough. You didn't go.
I didn't go this year. I didn't go.
Jeffrey got his spot.
I went 3 years. I've been going for 3 years straight, and I didn't go last year. But you see, like, people just want to show up so bad, and then they
I bet,
but
dog.
I mean, and you know, there is more security now because, I mean, dude, is a guy who has a great shit at his house. I mean, this guy has great photos, great memorabilia. I mean,
how hard would it be to walk out of there with an Eddie Van Halen guitar?
Hard.
Fuck that. I want the gun. I want Richard Pryor's gun that he shot up the car.
He has.
Wait. He owns the gun.
He owns the gun that he shot up the car.
He never told me that.
How did he get that?
Well, he posted it on fucking Instagram like 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, he has some great stuff.
Badass at 357,
but he has security like crazy. I mean, this guy, that day of the, he has so much security. He hires extra security, and then he has all these cameras. I mean, come on, you're like, you're a Hollywood, and you're Latino. You know, you're successful. Of course, you're going to be trying to take care of your stuff.
There's a lot of Momos hanging out.
Especially me, you know.
Martino, the one
keep your eye on that motherfucker, Martino, right there.
Momo, the one that they used to, they used him before, bro, to like tell people the weakness in the party.
He's our weak link. Yeah, yeah, he knows all right, the weak links. Yeah.
Okay, man.
Case it out.
Okay, man, once it gets dark, that place will be easy to penetrate.
It's like the kid from Catch Me If You Can, working for the FBI.
Look, if you made it
if a fat guy could sneak into a party.
See, but I like to sneak in being undetected, dog. I don't want to be all like,
well, I go in, I
that.
Sneak in a network. That's what trips everybody out. So at the end of the night, everyone's wondering, who's that guy?
Well, what do you consider networking?
Has anyone ever spit at your badge or ripped the badge you're wearing?
No. I've had somebody question me, was Eddie Van Halen.
And he's a silent dude.
He tells George.
He asks you, what is George, to George George house?
Lopez, George Lopez comes up to me and goes, hey, man, Eddie Van Halen's wondering who you are. I'm like, what do you mean?
I saw him at the Oz Festival.
He's seen you before.
He's seen you sneaking.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Blues Traveler.
I saw him getting kicked out by Fraser Smith at Kelly West.
Got to get out of here, buddy.
Tanya Strada had him in a fucking stranglehold. What's up, fool? Momo, where people can find you at? Sneaking in next.
On Instagram.
Where?
On Momo Rodriguez on IG and Momo Rodriguez on Twitter. And also, you know, come to any show. I'll put it up there and we'll
sneak
have a good
in.
Time.
Don't ask for free tickets.
If you sneak in, I will really appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
Momo Rodriguez, people. Rodrigo, you have shows coming up?
Yeah. Well, the Spanish show that we have on next Tuesday in Riverside at the Life Arts Center. And also October 16th at the Paramount in Boyle Heights. We're doing a show with myself, Martin Rizzo, Jerry Garcia.
Is that the first night of that comedy series?
What's up, fool? Anybody want to invite Momo Rodriguez or challenge him to sneak into anywhere? Hit him up on Instagram. Challenge him.
I'm telling you, new podcast. Get in where you fit in.
That's Momo's podcast.
Come on, get a new
podcast.
Fuck
the ghost, eh?
Yeah. I'm ghost. Funny.